Welcome, Sunday night. Hope you guys have had a wonderful weekend. December the 13th, almost Christmas time. Ted Brewer here. Good to be with you. Austin, my co-host. Good to have you again with me, Austin. And we got a lot of news to cover tonight. We got a lot of really weird stuff going on again tonight. So got a lot of stuff to cover. But Austin, you were telling me in the office today that Florida is about to pass an open carry law to let us carry openly now. Tell me what's going on with that, because that's kind of interesting, because I like that.
Yeah, it's been pretty exciting. I mean, as most people know, follow gun laws, there are pretty much only like 40, there's like 45 states now in the whole country that allow some type of open carry. Some of the states are a little bit more restricted, like you can open carry, but there can't be a magazine in your weapon, which that's kind of useless, but I mean, whatever. So Florida is one of like the last states that's actually a concealed weapon state that doesn't allow open carry. It's called Bill SB 300 HB 163, and so far it's gotten a lot of positive feedback. The Florida Police Chief Association just voted last week 15-7 favor of passing the bill. But what's funny is there's in Pinellas County, which is like right beside us. That's I think that's Tampa, isn't it?
I think it's St. Pete.
St. Pete, okay.
Yeah, Hillsborough County is Tampa, and then Pinellas County is on the other side. So it's two counties away.
Okay, two counties away. Yeah, his name is Sheriff Bob Giulietteri, and basically he's been coming up with some pretty erratic speech about this bill. It's got a lot of people really irritated. He's being some really negative publicity. And his latest threats, I think 3 days ago now, he did a statement to News Service of Florida, and he stated basically, if you are somewhere and there's something happens and you're openly carrying a firearm on your waist, that he stated, quoted, at a minimum, they're going to be thrown down on the ground with a gun pointed at them, or worse. If a good citizen with a concealed weapon or open weapon walks into, say, a bank during an armed robbery when the officer arrives, he's going to take one in the chest because he's a threat. Which that's a really, really strong statement. And what's happening now is he's really building a rift between local concealed carry civilians and law enforcement officers. And in this article by Florida Concealed Carry, this is funny, this is what the writer in this says. He goes, if Sheriff Giulietteri is unable to better train his deputies, if he is unable to maintain a disciplined and professional law enforcement agency of public servers, if he is going to continue attempts to cause a potentially deadly rift between the gun-owning community and his department's hardworking deputies that could get a citizen or law enforcement officer killed, then Sheriff Giulietteri is unfit to serve the people of Pinellas County and should resign or be removed immediately. Open and concealed carry works in 45 states, and insult the Florida law enforcement to believe they are incapable of telling good guys from violent criminals. Sheriff Giulietteri is a bully with a badge who would be better suited to be a street cop in Iran than a sheriff in Florida. That was from the FloridaConcealedCarry.com, the website, pretty much the biggest gun advocates in Florida. That was on their email today that I got from them. So they're obviously pretty irritated about the sheriff's statements about that. What do you think about it?
Well, personally, you know, the whole thing's a big disaster with this sheriff. You know, our sheriff would be happy for open carry, I'm sure, here in Polk County. See, let me share this with you guys, and this is just my opinion on this stuff, and of course, a lot of you are going to agree with me because you and me listening to the show, and some of you may not, but that's okay. When you're carrying a gun, let's say, for instance, if I go to the local grocery store Publix, and I'm open carrying a firearm on my hip, okay, like police officers do when they walk in. If I do that, if a bad guy sees me with my gun and I'm open carrying, it's a massive, massive, massive deterrent if he wants to rob that store. Because he knows, it's almost as if there's a cop in the store with him with a gun right now and he's fixing to try to do something. The problem with the concealed carry is it was so archaic with some of the laws until this past year, if you brandished a weapon because you were about to get beat up and you didn't discharge the weapon or shoot somebody, I mean, if you didn't physically shoot them, you were put in jail for 3 years. And finally, they allowed us this past year to go ahead and issue a warning shot to stop something from happening rather than having to shoot somebody. So it's getting better and better and better in the state. And Florida really has that. No, if you really feel your life is in danger here, you have the right to defend yourself in our state, which I really like about Florida. But sadly, the sheriff in Pinellas County probably is dealing with a large group of minorities over there. I'm not sure what they are, and he's probably scared they're all going to be running around with guns, and they're not even going to be American citizens. And so that's the problem that he's probably thinking about. But he's absolutely the other man who wrote the article about, against that was that, you know, in 45 other states this works well. Why in the world can't it work for him? Now, of course, now let me share something with you. The municipality can still pass laws not allowing concealed carry, even if the state says it's okay. In other words, you won't be able to do it inside of the city limits or inside of a bank. And that's if the sheriff is that worried about it. Just tell them that everybody has to, you know, make sure they have their concealed weapons or their weapons are concealed if they go inside of a bank or whatever. And of course, it'll still stay the same. You won't be able to go into bars or nightclubs or sports facilities or arenas or football stadiums with guns. And, you know, some college campuses now are telling you that you can carry guns, which I think is a great idea for people who have concealed carries. Because remember, it's not all 18, 19-year-old kids in college. There are people that are my age that are going to graduate school and going to law school at Florida State and going to medical school. I mean, there are people all over the country that are going to school that have concealed weapons permits. They're not an 18 or 19-year-old drunk, reckless kid. They're adults, and they've had weapon permits for years and years and years. If they're allowed to carry on a campus, if they have a concealed weapons permit, it'll massively deter. At the Strozier Library a year and a half ago, when that guy opened up in the library and shot several people in Tallahassee, Florida State, my alma mater, you know, the state of Florida tried its best to pass a concealed carry on state university campuses, but the president of Florida State University said you can't do that at all. In fact, he went so far as to say that if you're at a football game, you're not even allowed to have the gun in your car on the campus. In other words, if you're staying in a hotel, this happened to be the last time I was up there, I had to leave my gun in the hotel with my luggage in the room, and I couldn't even pack my bags because I was not allowed to bring the gun on campus, even in my car, while I was attending a football game. That's stupid. I mean, what are you going to do, get mad at somebody, run out to your car and get a gun? And I guess what happens, I think the professors are a little bit, you know, a little antsy about this, because we've got a lot of liberal professors all over the major universities all over the country, and a lot of them are jerks. I mean, just going to be honest with you guys, I was in college for years and years and years and years. I was a college professor for 2 years. And a lot of the professors are just idiots. I mean, they don't care. They don't care about the kids. They care about the research. They care about getting published, but they don't care about their kids. And, you know, and a lot of times they'll give people bad grades just because they don't want that kid going to law school or medical school or whatever. They just do it on purpose. And that's probably the professors that are scared. They're afraid some student's going to get all pissed off at them and shoot them, Austin. And the sad part about it is that if they quit being jerks and became good professors, that wouldn't happen. I went out of my way when I was a college professor to try to make sure everybody in my class could earn an A. And I just required they showed up. And they actually participated in class. I mean, I remember one time I was teaching a class, and a bunch of the students had left true-false questions blank. And I couldn't even believe it. And I told them, I said, look, guys, I mean, this is 35 years ago. And I finally said, okay, guys, let's talk about probabilities. I got a coin out, and I started flipping it up. I said, okay, this is heads, this is tails, this is true, this is false. You're going to hit it 50% of the time, so don't leave it blank. And so I was in there trying to help them all. And I remember years afterwards, I had people come up to me, students that I'd had, and told me that I was the best college professor they'd ever had, and that I was the only class they'd ever learned anything in, because I made everything really, really practical. Kind of like we try to do when we put together our Drink and Be Healthy programs or when I write my books, because I want people to understand, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. I know when I do Hagman's show, and we start talking about, you know, particle physics and all the stuff that we do, it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be very basic and very simple, so that everybody can understand the concept of what you're trying to get across, Austin. So, yeah, I agree with you, buddy. I think we need to have open carry in the state of Florida. We need to be able to carry guns on the back of our cars. I mean, we used to have a gun. We had shotgun racks on our back windows, and we could actually carry guns in the back of the truck if you were hunting or whatever. And it was a big deterrent because nobody wanted to carjack you or whatever if you had a rifle sitting in the back of your truck. So, yes, I hope that passes. I hope that's a good law, and I hope we can maintain our rights, and I hope Obama doesn't start passing crazy, crazy laws as far as gun control. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, yeah, just in another, you know, total lunacy of people, you know, being treated by the government like they're little children. We have to have a nanny state all the time. What's interesting now is that, you know, we know that people are being encouraged to report suspicious behavior to authorities and stuff like that. Well, the latest case of this nanny state lunacy happened when a lady named Sonia Hindred left her 4-year-old son Tomahawk to play outside of their apartment complex. Now, They live in a fully gated community in Sacramento, California. Her son was literally in front of the apartment complex, about, they said, estimated 120 feet away from her apartment, when her neighbor decided she was going to call Child Protective Services. Of course, when they arrived, they immediately arrested his mom for child neglect and endangerment, and they also snatched up her four-year-old son in the process. And what's sad is, you know, even after appealing the case, there were felony charges. Original child neglect and endangerment was felony. They dropped them to misdemeanors, which meant she had to spend 6 months in jail and spend 3 months of probation. She adamantly opposed the charges and was offered a plea bargain requiring 30 days in jail and a year of probation. She has stood firm now, rejecting both sentences, and has pled not guilty. Now, the thing that nobody bothers to understand is when they go out and do this, instead of actually doing a full report, full investigation to find out what was happening, what the child was doing, where the mom was, if she was using, you know, illicit drugs, if she was drinking, if she was simply inside letting her child play outside, they don't even take into account this type of irrational behavior on part of the authorities and how it impacts the child's emotional health. And it actually changes the way he sees the world around him forever. I mean, a four-year-old, that is a very, very traumatic experience to be separated from your mother like that, with screaming and yelling, I'm sure, and crying, then officers arresting your mother and taking her back to the police car. And this kid had no idea what's going on. And we've seen this repeatedly. I mean, we've reported on it multiple accounts all over the country this year of simple things like this happening. Just a neighbor gets pissed off at a woman and her neighbor and says, oh, her child's outside playing on the jungle gym, or he's across the street of the park. And they come, arrest the mom, pick up the kid, take him to Child Protective Services, make sure he's up to date on all his vaccines and GMO food. And sometimes it becomes next to impossible to even reacquire your child until you've gone through months and months and months of court dates and appeals and everything else. So it's a real nightmare when you get stuck in that system. But people have to understand that it's a lot easier just to go approach your neighbor if you're in that situation and be like, hey, what's going on? We saw your kid out here. We want to make sure everything was okay, instead of immediately calling the police. It really prevents a lot of problems like this from ever even occurring.
Well, you're absolutely right, Austin. The crazy thing about this thing is, and people don't understand this, and I had it happen to several friends of mine, they'd have a problem with a neighbor or a problem with a coworker at work, and they would turn around, and they'd be home one day, and suddenly the police would show up, and that coworker had dropped a dime on them and turned them in and said they'd seen them abuse their child. Now, the coworker would never leave their name. They would do it on the 800 hotline. And all of a sudden, that poor person who never did anything wrong besides had a dispute with a coworker or with a neighbor is in a full-blown investigation from Child Protective Services, which can take anyone from 6 months to a year. And I mean, I know so many people that's happened to. And I mean, it's absolutely nuts that somebody can just call up and just fabricate charges on you and have them come in and do a full-blown investigation on you with absolutely no proof at all. Now, I understand why they've done this and why they've gone to this level. It's because they've neglected to do things before when people have called up and the child ends up getting injured or killed. So now they got under tremendous scrutiny from that. So now they knee-jerked it back to the other direction, and they make everybody's life miserable. It's absolutely ridiculous. And a lot of it depends on the caseworker that you have come out and how they're going to act. But what I always tell people this, and listen to me, everybody, please listen to me on this. The same thing I'll tell you if you get stopped for DUI or anything. You never talk to the investigating officer. It doesn't matter if you're guilty or not guilty. It doesn't make any difference at all. All they're doing is trying to build evidence in a case against you. That's all this is. They're doing an investigation on you. That's why they're asking you questions. Don't talk to these guys. Just say, look, I'm sorry, I've got an attorney. Under the advice of my attorney, I can't talk to you. I realize you're a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. I mean, if I could, I'd take you out and, you know, get you organic pizza or whatever, but I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about any of this because we're not going to do this right now. You have to talk to my attorney. And that'll stop it most of the time. And you may still have to deal with some of the child protective nonsense or whatever, but you're not going to be in a situation where you're giving evidence against yourself. It's the same thing with Austin when you read last week about not signing the vaccination refusal forms. You just don't do stuff like that. You don't sign those types of forms. You leave those forms alone and you don't sign them, period. Because it's just that's more evidence they're going to use against you for, quote, child neglect. So it's just not necessary. It's not something that you do. It's not something you get involved with, and it's something you just need to stay away from. Don't give them information to investigate you. Just say no. Just say no. I'm not going to talk to you. Talk to my attorney, and let the attorney deal with it. Because, you know, being on radio and TV all the time, you know, we always have people that are saying things and doing things they shouldn't ought to do with us. And I've just learned, just get the attorney involved immediately and to be done with it. Because if you don't do it, if you start off with the attorney, everybody knows you're serious and you're not playing any games with them anymore. And I've just learned over the years, it's just cheaper in the long run to do that. It saves a lot of hassle and a lot of turmoil laws.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Don't say anything without your attorney present.
But I mean, it's the same thing with DUI. I mean, if you don't drink and drive, God, please don't do that, guys. That's really just trashy. Don't do that, okay? Get a designated driver if you're going to go booze it up. You want to sit around the house and have a beer. Who cares? I don't care. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're a Christian, you have a beer, whatever. As long as you get drunk, Bible forbids drunkenness, not drinking. I don't do it. But I'm not going to say that I've never had a glass of beer in my life, because I have. Every once in a while I go to Germany and one of my relatives wants to buy me a Pilsner or whatever. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. And I don't care. I'm 60 years old. I can't have a beer, whatever, man. I'll have a beer if I want one. But I don't drink and drive ever, ever, ever. And now me having a beer, that's like once every year and a half. Okay, so don't go start blogging that Brewer drinks. I don't. But the reality is this. You know, it's not, you know, something you do when you not drive. Just don't do that. And if you were stupid enough to do it and you get busted, okay, and you get caught, don't blow the breathalyzer. Don't give them any evidence against you. You'll get an administrative revocation of your license for 1 year. It drops back off after 1 year. You get a work permit driving thing. You never get a DUI. It's just a lot easier to do it that way. It really is. But you don't blow and you don't give them evidence and you don't talk to them. You don't do any of that stuff. You don't walk the line. You don't do any of that stuff. Say, I'm sorry, officer. I got to call my attorney. I can't talk to you without my attorney present. Please forgive me. I can't talk to you. That's it. That's all you say. Okay? And you get on the telephone and start calling your attorney. And you need to have one on your speed dial. You may only get an answering phone, but at least you can say, I just left my attorney a message. And again, talk to your attorney. I'm not an attorney. I'm not giving you legal advice. Don't consider any of this legal advice. But this is what I always tell people, you know, that are friends of ours. And this is what my attorney's told me, even though I don't drink and drive. I don't really drink.
Well,
but the point,
well,
you know, go ahead.
I was going to say that most people don't ever get brought up and they don't ever hear about when they hear about DUIs. And this is really important, because this is something that never gets talked about, is that if you do get convicted of a DUI, if you blow a breathalyzer, you do a field sobriety test, and you fail, which means you will pretty much 100% guarantee yourself a DUI, not only do you have to go through all the rigmarole of still getting your license suspended, still having to get a work permit, having a DUI, at least in Florida. Now, some states are different. Some states are worse than Florida. But I know this from experience from a few people I know that have had DUIs. It's called, I think, SR-123 insurance, that it's mandated after you get a DUI, you have to have it for a minimum of 3 years. And what it basically is, it's high-risk driving insurance. And for a simple car like a 2002 4Runner, your minimum insurance on that is usually between $400 to $600 a month minimum, and that's with a good insurance company that's not going to rip you off. But it's called driving insurance. So right there, you're looking at anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000 a year just in insurance, depending on what type of vehicle you drive after you get convicted of your DUI. So that's something else to think about, and just give you further incentive to not drink and drive.
Well, and the other thing too, sometimes you get a plea bargain down to reckless driving, you know, with alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's almost as bad, because then you get like a 6 month probation, you have to get a work permit again, and your insurance goes through the roof again. I mean, to me, I'd just rather take the administrative revocation of the license for 12 months and be done with it, and not give them any evidence about the alcohol whatsoever. That's the way I look at it. That's how I look at things. I've got a friend of mine that happened to him last summer, and he was able to plea bargain it down to a reckless driving charge, you know, with alcohol, which to me, man, bless his heart, he has to be so careful everywhere he goes now. All right, let's start on the news. The Japanese utility authority TEPCO admits Fukushima radiation leaks have spiked sharply. I've been reporting on that now for 2 years. Just weeks after the completion and the failure of supposed containment walls, already failed by the way, and the construction of the ice wall, TEPCO, the operator of the crippled Fukushima nuclear plant, has admitted that the levels of radioactivity in underground tunnels has risen by 4,000 times over last year's level. and they're trying to investigate what caused the spike in radiation. Okay, they got a reactor that's melting down. I'm gonna answer their question for them. They've got a reactor that's melting down and is releasing larger and larger amounts of uranium and, you know, and cesium. And, so there you go. So you've got my answer now. You know what happened. You had a reactor failure years ago, and that's why you're having this take place. It's just so you don't want to spend your $5 million trying to figure out why it happened, okay? Go ahead. What's your next story, Austin?
Next one's interesting. This one's a little on the negative side, so forgive me on it. I just want to bring to everybody's attention the fact that, you know, we discuss a lot how judges, pastors now, and all these guys are involved with a lot of the Masonic cult and a lot of the just, you know, you hear about the Illuminati's, all this stuff. And this is a really, really weird article that I read today. This is back in 2013, but it's very interesting. Basically, a Iowa youth pastor, age of 31, his name was Brent Gyrux in Iowa, basically will not be serving any jail time, even though he has essentially raped multiple boys from his church. He stated that he was trying to rape away the gay. He's married 4 children and was arrested in 2012 on 60 counts of suspicion of sexual exploitation by a counselor or therapist. He confessed to Council Bluffs police detectives that he had sexual relations with 4 boys starting in 2007 to help them gain sexual purity in the eyes of God. Sick, okay, guys. He said at least 8 other men have now come forward complaining that the pastor molested them. He said help with homosexual urges by praying while they had sexual contact was in order to keep them sexually pure. Now, this is the weirdest part of this article now. The judge issued a 17-year prison sentence for the heinous crimes, but then without any explanation, a week later, suspended the entire sentence and allowed him to get sex offender treatment and 5 years of probation with no jail time and no fines for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Now, if you guys don't think anything else going on behind the curtains with that, if somebody was getting paid, if somebody was calling in a favor, but you don't give 17-year prison sentence to a youth pastor pedophile and then a week later completely drop the charges and give him 5 years probation with sex treatment. That's just something's very odd about that, and that gives you another idea of how polluted the entire judicial system has gotten.
Wow. So, yeah. You know, it's interesting. Last year I was climbing, or actually it's been 2 years ago now, I was doing a mountain hike up Mount LeConte through Alum Cave Bluffs in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, and a lot of you listening have probably done that same hike. It's in real close to Gatlinburg. And I was coming back off the mountain, and I was about halfway down to the bottom. And I ran into 2 guys, and I started talking to them. They were both Catholic priests, okay? They were both in their mid to late 20s. And we started talking to them about the Catholic Church. And I started just bringing up all the stuff about that, what I know about the Catholic Church. They were telling me how great the Catholic Church was. And I said, well, I expect you believe it's great because you're priests. I got that you believe that. I said, but there's one big problem with all of this. You know, half your priests are queer. And they said, well, I'm sorry, gay. Can't say queer anymore. I guess they were queer, okay? So, but they're gay, pedophiles. And I said to them, I said, well, half your priests are queer. And they said, what do you mean? I said, you know they're queer. I said, we know they're queer, you know they're queer. And they go, well, yeah, there's a problem. And it's, we know it's almost 50%. And I'm like, well, you know, dude, there's a problem here. You got 50% of your priests in this organization basically raping and sodomizing little boys. And you think that's okay? I said, none of this is okay. And I said, the crazy thing is you guys keep paying off all the parents of all the boys and paying off all these victims and then transferring these rapists to other parishes and they rape other kids. And I said, they're never thrown out of the priesthood. Well, that's because we have a shortage of priests. And I said, well, I really don't consider those people to be good candidates. I said, why do you care if you keep additional rapists running around? See, what happened is back in the 40s and 50s and then back in the 60s with Vatican II, the entire Catholic Church hierarchy was rearranged. And back then they were bringing in people from Operation Gladio and they were bringing in Masonic Lodge members, and the Catholics were actually joining the Masonic Lodges, which is forbidden by the Catholic doctrine to be part of a secret organization. And so the whole Catholic Church went to hell, basically, and I'm being very frank with that, back in the 40s and 50s with the CIA, Operation Gladio, and the involvement with Masonic Lodges. And then, of course, it culminated in the 80s with John Paul I, I believe it was. He ended up being a Catholic priest for like 1 month, and they killed him. And because he was going to expose the entire Vatican Bank and what was going on. But we've done entire shows on this before. But the craziest thing about all of this is, any person who's been called to be a preacher, any person who's been called to be a man of the cloth, any man who's called himself, you know, a shepherd of the sheep, shame on you if you're abusing your flock like that and you're doing things like that to little children. I mean, Jesus himself said there's a cold, dark place in hell waiting for you. I mean, it's better for you than a millstone be tied around your neck. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just awful to do that to little children. It's just all part of that satanic mess that's gotten into the Vatican now, in this priesthood, with these priests that are being ordained in the Episcopal churches that are gay. And it's just, these people are just, and you know, if a guy's gay and another guy's gay, they're 30 years old or whatever, I find that repugnant, repulsive, all of the above, okay? But you know, if they keep it between themselves, I think it's disgusting, but whatever. But they start bringing little children into it, Austin, it's a whole different level. It's awful. And I think that these laws need to be enforced. And I don't know why he got it off. But look at that. Our whole Capitol Hill, probably a quarter of the congressmen up there now are pedophiles. And I mean, it's absolutely nuts how many of these people are involved in these pedophilia rings. And a lot of the child trafficking is happening through the United Nations there in New York and being sponsored right through D.C. It's absolutely nuts what's happened in our country.
Yeah, it is. You're spot on with that. Another new article again came out against glyphosate and Monsanto. Surprise, surprise. This is we knew a lot of this has been happening, but this is even another one. Very disturbing study published last month in the Journal of Toxicology in Vitro. Researchers found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup, which we already know, the glyphosate-based herbicide, which has already been linked to over 25 adverse health effects, and now they're saying it's also capable of interfering and harm the entire male reproductive system, which we've already said we knew. But now this is actually a full-blown research study that's come out now. They took mature rat testicular cells at a concentration between 1 and a... They took the glyphosate and tested them on mature rat testicular cells at a concentration between 1 and 10,000 ppm, which they described as the range in some human urine and also environment to agricultural levels. They found that just within 1 to 48 hours of Roundup exposure, testicular Leydig cells were damaged or completely killed. What is even more disturbing is that even at a lower, presumably non-toxic concentration of just 1 ppm of glyphosate, that's 1 parts per million, by itself, testosterone concentrations were observed to decrease by at least 35%. So how such a small concentration of glyphosate caused such a profound disruption of biological activity in testicular cells? Of course, like we've discussed before, it's a complete and total endocrine disruptor. And now even in the higher concentration of Roundup might result in immediate cell death, a much lower one can alter the hormone and genetic expression of that cell, perhaps taking it down the path towards pathological dysfunction or even cancer. There are already 16 studies in biomedical literature indicating that glyphosate acts as an endocrine disruptor, with a 2010 paper revealing that prepubescent exposure to commercial formulation of glyphosate alters testosterone levels and testicular morphology. You guys got to understand, the only thing we can do now is continue to slam these guys and continue to get out this information and wake people up to stop using this. If people haven't come to the realization now that have been awake and that glyphosate is incredibly toxic and you don't need to put it in your body or anybody around you needs to put it in their body, you need to wake up. You need to really realize that this is not a joke anymore. This stuff is incredibly toxic. 1 ppm of Roundup, which, I mean, you're talking, that's nothing. That's literally nothing. That's so minute, you can't even find that. As a reference point, even in distilled water, they still find between 5 to 10 parts per million of dissolved solids in distilled water, and that's extremely low. 1 ppm of this glyphosate decreases testosterone by at least 35%. That's how toxic this stuff is.
Wow. And you know, the crazy thing about it, Austin, it's all part of the globalist agenda. They knew it was going to do this. Monsanto knew it was going to do this. Monsanto covered up all, and I read this, I read all of them this a few months ago on Hagmann. We covered all of the different types of cancers that are being caused from Monsanto's Roundup, that it was inside of their internal documents back from the 70s. They've known it for 40 years, but because they've made hundreds of billions of dollars on Roundup, on glyphosate, they didn't care. I mean, they really don't care. And that's the craziest thing about all of it. It's all part of the eugenics protocol to lower the population. In some areas, men's sperm counts are down by 90%. 90%. I mean, that's why so many men and women now that are in their 20s and their 30s, they simply can't have children. Because the guy's infertile, he's sterile basically, and the woman's not ovulating properly because of all the endocrine and hormone disruptors they put into their systems. Let me read you another story. This is an interesting one. I find this is absolutely fascinating. The International Monetary Fund forgives Ukraine's debt to Russia. Now, I don't think you understand what I'm saying here. Ukraine owes Russia money, right? And the IMF says, okay, Ukraine, you don't have to give it to Russia anymore. We're not going to make you pay it back. I mean, it's just all they're doing is keep sticking their fingers in Putin's eyes. But on Tuesday, the IMF joined the new Cold War. It has been lending money to Ukraine despite the fund's rules blocking it from lending to countries with no visible chance of paying the No More Argentina rule from 2001. With IMF head Christine Lagarde made the last IMF loan to Ukraine in the spring, she expressed the hope that there would be peace, but President Poroshenko immediately announced that he would use the proceeds to step up his nation's civil war with the Russian-speaking population in the east. So they're giving him money to fund the war is what this is, right in Russia's face. For over half a year, there was a semi-public discussion with the U.S. Treasury advisors and cold warriors about how to stiff Russia of the $3 billion owed by Ukraine to Russia's sovereign wealth fund. There was some talk of declaring this an odious debt, which means like an illegal debt. But it was decided this ploy might backfire against U.S.-supported dictatorships. In the end, the IMF just simply left the Ukraine the money anyway so they could continue to fight the war against Russia. By doing so, it announced a new policy. We only enforce debts owed in U.S. dollars to U.S. allies. This means that was simmering as a cold war against Russia has now turned into a full-blown division of the world into the dollar block with the satellite euro and other pro-U.S. currencies and the BRICS for the other countries not in the U.S. financial and military orbit. I mean, what a mess. I mean, you know, just think about it. You got a country because based on the Argentina rule that you cannot just loan them money anymore when they can't pay it back, but because it's against Russia now and they want to continue to fund this. Remember, this is what the Rothschilds do. They fund both sides of the war because of the massive profitability of the wars. And this is what they're doing. Remember, the Rothschild still controls the central bank in Russia, but I don't think that's going to be for long. I got a feeling Putin's about enough of that anyhow. But it's just absolutely nuts, Austin, that all of this stuff is going on. And remember, that's why the Tsar was overthrown. It was thrown over the Khazarian thing that happened in the 8th century. They were going to take down the royal family. They overthrew the Tsar in the, I think it was 1917, 1918, I don't remember the exact date. And basically the Russian Revolution started with Lenin and Trotsky and all those Khazarians is the one who's doing it all. And the nuttiest part about all of this is the whole thing was to install a Rothschild control central bank in Russia, which they did. So I don't know. What do you think about all that, Austin? Just paying money to your people that are fighting against you.
Yeah, I mean, and now they're saying that basically they only enforce it if it's in U.S. currency, which just shows me they're completely and totally backed by the entire, you know, Rothschild global banking cartel with that said. But another story, too, a lot of people haven't heard about this. You remember a couple of years ago, back in 2011, that's when it was, yes, remember the Chinook that got shot down with all the Spec Op guys, including the SEAL Team 6, that just all of a sudden took an RPG and crashed and nobody knew anything about it. Well, a bunch of lawmakers now are trying to, and an attorney, they're trying to get the parents of basically all the military men that were in that plane answers. They're demanding answers. It's called Extortion 17, which is a call sign Extortion 17, which is what the protocol that they were doing with the plane as far as the mission they're on. There are 30 Beck Ops in there in a conventional Chinook aircraft, no escort, no pre-assault fire, and basically had no idea what was going on. And what's even crazier now is that for the last, like, 3 years, the family's been trying to figure out what's going on. The Obama administration has been violating a judge's order to turn documents in the August 6, 2011 shootdown of the U.S. helicopter that killed members of the SEAL Team 6 in Afghanistan. On the fourth anniversary of the worst one-day loss of military life in the war on terror, families of the dead say that they are aghast that the government will not honor basic requests under the Information Act. A rocket launch grenade from a Taliban fighter standing near the landing zone clipped the rotary wing, sending the CH-47 Chinook into a violent downward spin. It was the worst day for fatalities in the history of naval special warfare. And what's weird is reports are that a Taliban fighter just happened to be standing in a turret about 150 yards from the landing zone that had never been used before and just showed up out of nowhere, shot an RPG, took the helicopter down, and they never find him. Now, since filing the lawsuit, Mr. Clayman, who's one of the attorneys, they've been stonewalled by the Justice Department, the Defense Department, the CIA, and the National Security Agency. And U.S. District Judge Richard Leon in February had signed an order requiring the Obama administration to release documents on a continual basis throughout the spring and summer. However, they have done none about this event, which tells me that we knew when it happened that something was very odd. That whole Osama bin Laden, they killed him and SEAL Team 6 took him out, and then all of a sudden they're riding on a Chinook, you know, a month later, and an RPG takes them down. They had no cover fire. They had no armored aircraft support. They had no escort. It was a very, very strange situation, and we knew there was something behind it. Now, obviously, they're even just making our suspicions even come to light further by refusing to release stuff under the Freedom of Information Act.
You know, it's interesting. When that happened back in 2011, it was in the spring, and I told my wife, Sharon, I said, those boys are dead. And she goes, what do you mean those boys are dead? I said, all the guys on the SEAL Team 6 that were in the supposed raid against bin Laden, they're all dead. And she goes, well, none of them died. I said, well, no, they're all going to be killed. And she goes, why? I said, because they have to do the cover-up. You know, it's kind of like the Kennedy assassination. I said, remember what happened with John Kerry with the Swift boat operators? I mean, all these guys from the Vietnam War when he was such a coward, and they all started coming out and talking about him and what a lowlife he was. And they said, they don't want to have that happen again, you know, with Obama. They can't do it. And then Obama brought these boys to the White House and, like, decorated them. And remember, these guys were all super secretive. And then I told Sharon, I said, they're dead. And she goes, well, I don't think they're going to do that now. I said, no, they're dead. And then I remember we were on a cruise in Germany, in Norway, somewhere up about Norway. And it was right when that same shooting happened in Norway when that king wanted to start trading dollars and get out of the petrodollars, and the king of Norway. And then they came in there with that assault team and shot all those people and all those kids at that camp. It was about the same time, all of a sudden that helicopter gets blown up. And the articles that I read back in 2011 when I was still really frosty on this whole topic, Austin, was that, you know, that Osama bin Laden had died from kidney failure in a Baghdad hospital, supposedly, you know, back in 2001. So, you know, none of us in the Patriot community know if that's true or not, but that's what we had been told by one of the top CIA operatives. Now, what's the interesting thing about this is, we know that they didn't even bring his body back to the ship. We heard he dumped it in the water. We heard he had a burial at sea. We heard it was flown off by the CIA. Nobody knows what happened. The whole thing about it is they had to get rid of the co-conspirators, the people involved in it, because they didn't want the SEAL Team 6. See, these guys are highly decorated combat veterans. They didn't want to have these guys get on national TV and say, look, I'm a member of SEAL Team 6. This thing never happened. You know, I'm a colonel, you know, in the United States Marine Corps, and this never happened. They didn't want that. They didn't want that. They didn't want to have that kind of blowback, that type of explosion, you know, as far as publicity. And that's why they've done this. You know, there's so many generals now that have turned against Obama and colonels that have turned against Obama. You know, he did not want the special forces guys who supposedly had done that to come forward and say anything. And that's what happened. And a lot of those guys had told their fathers and their mothers they were scared for their lives now because they really felt as though that they were going to be killed because of what had happened. And now they're all gone and they're all dead. And now the Obama administration, like you said, Austin, is further complicating it and further making more people believe that what happened isn't really a big lie, which we already know it is. I mean, all these guys sitting around in the boardroom over there in the war room with Hillary Clinton and all the rest of them for their photo op when all this is going down. Are you kidding me? It was completely and totally staged, which we're getting a lot of that now. We're getting a lot of staged false flags, and people really aren't dying. And this time, people died. And then look at Benghazi. And what is the Wicked Witch of Washington say? What difference does it make who died? They're already dead. You know, I mean, it means a lot to the person who loves those people, to their family, to their mothers, to their brothers, to their cousins, to their uncles, to their children. I mean, you can't run around saying stuff like that unless you're the Wicked Witch of Washington, Hillary. And so it's kind of crazy. Well, here's another article. This is Pat Buchanan talking about Hillary. Says that if the GOP does not support Trump now, that they will lose to Hillary. That Hillary will win the election. Veteran conservative voice Patrick Buchanan issued a stern warning to the Republican Party on Thursday. Throw your weight behind GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump now, or prepare to lose next year's election to Hillary Clinton. Buchanan, an advisor to President Richard Nixon, Reagan, and Ford, told Newsmax TV the freak over Trump's proposal to halt the temporary barring of Muslims from the U.S. is misguided, and it may make the developer turn independent as his supporters flee the GOP. Someone's got to tell the Republican Party, look, everybody advising you how to get rid of Trump. But if you destroy him, you destroy his issues, or you deny his issues and his arguments. Where do you think those people are going to go? They're going to stay home, Buchanan said on Newsmax with Ed Hayworth. Buchanan goes on to say that without solidarity, the GOP is doomed to lose. And he goes, I don't care who wins the nomination, but the Bush Republicans, if you will, and the Krugs Republicans and the Trump Republicans and all of them need to be on that stage together supporting and endorsing the nominee, he said. If they do, they've got a good chance to win the election. But a House divided will not win this election in November of 2016. And again, we'll be given the Wicked Witch of the West, Hillary Clinton, or East of Hillary Clinton, or whatever she is. But the nuttiest thing about it is that, you know, there's a new book out, you know, on how she's abused women. I mean, this woman is not who you think she is. She's a big promoter of Margaret Sanger. Okay, she got the Margaret Sanger Award a few years ago. Margaret Sanger was the biggest eugenicist probably the planet's ever known, other than Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler studied Margaret Sanger. That's where he got his terms from and what he wanted to do. The eugenics protocol was started in California. And Margaret Sanger hated blacks, told everybody that they needed to get their preachers in the area to sign up for the abortion clinics and pay them extra money, the black preachers, so they could send their black people to the abortion clinics. She was a complete and total eugenicist. She wanted to kill all the black people. She was a complete and total racist. This is Margaret Sanger, Hillary Clinton's, you know, mentor. I mean, Hillary Clinton is not a good person. And you guys, I don't talk about her much because I'll be honest with you, I don't even like talking about her at all. She's awful. I mean, every time she comes on TV, if I'm even watching anything with her on it, I change the channel because I don't want to look at her and I don't want to listen to her. And see, that's what I like about Trump. And I know a lot of people say, well, Trump's not perfect either. Well, who's perfect? My gosh, are you kidding me? Even Ronald Reagan has flaws. Look at Iran-Contra with Reagan and Bush and the CIA and all that drug running over there with the Contras. I mean, the whole thing was a big mess with Reagan. And then, of course, Bush was running the Reagan White House. Anyhow, we know that. Former CIA head. What in the world were we thinking hiring him in the White House? But the whole thing is this. The Clintons are really, really bad news. Go look up online, the Clinton Circle of Power. And the Clinton Chronicles are available online on YouTube for free. The Clinton Chronicles and the Clinton Circle of Power is from the 90s when they were presidents. I mean, if anybody really believes that Vince Foster committed suicide like that, I mean, don't, come on, guys. I mean, and, you know, and it's just, you know, even Chelsea Clinton, you know, they say she's an absolute nightmare. She runs around screaming and yelling at everybody all the time. And they say that she's Webster Hubble's daughter. She looks just like Webster Hubble. And when you add that, I saw somebody ask her on a video, are you Webster Hubble's daughter? Is he your father? And she refused to answer the question. I mean, this is a sicko, sicko family that is just absolutely a bunch of perverts. I mean, Bill Clinton has literally raped dozens of women. They've come forward, and these guys are just running around wanting to be in the White House again. It's complete and total nonsense, Austin.
Yeah, it is. It's almost a joke. You know, I told you in the car going over Earth that they're trying to gear the American population to get ready for Hillary Clinton. And Yahoo Mail is like a year ago. Big ad popped up on the side, really irritated me. This was before even this whole presidential campaign started, and said, aren't you ready for Hillary to be president. It showed a big old face, a big old picture of her big, fat, ugly face on there. And I was so disgusted. I was like, are you kidding me right now? I'm like, why are you trying to tell me that I'm ready for Hillary to be president? No, I'm not. I don't even want to see her. X'd out of it and did something else. Man, I was really irritated, and it really made me realize that that's what they're doing. They're trying to get everybody geared up to say, oh, we want Hillary. She already has pretty much all the liberal feminist votes because, you know, I mean, she would supposedly be, you know, the first female president. So hopefully we can get Trump in there and do something a little bit different. But switching gears a little bit, I know I've discussed it the last couple of weeks about how in China and in Europe now they're starting to see these mass antibiotic-resistant strains of different diseases and bacteria that nothing even works on. Now, another gift from Big Pharma, we're starting to see a drug-resistant stomach bug spreading across America. Shigella, which is an infection and intestinal disease, the symptoms usually after 1 to 2 days of exposure and include diarrhea, abdominal cramps, and fever. And it's interesting. It can be from eating contaminated food, ingesting contaminated water, hand-to-mouth. That's why I always tell everybody repeatedly, wash your hands all the time. Make sure your food's properly cleaned and prepped. Make sure you're drinking clean, old, processed water, you know, not water that's been contaminated or tap water, any of this stuff. What's interesting is annually, Shigella causes about 500,000 illnesses, about 5,000 hospitalizations, and about 40 deaths. Now, while these strains are predominantly resistant to Cipro, most are still susceptible to at least one or another oral antibiotic, the CDC says. However, these outbreaks are showing a troubling trend in the infections in the United States. Drug-resistant infections are becoming harder to treat, and because Shigella spreads so easily between people, the potential for more and larger outbreaks is a real concern. So this is what I've been telling you guys before. Make sure your food's cooked all the way. Try not to go out and eat all the time. It's a waste of money anyways. Prep your food at your house. It's a lot cheaper and it's a lot cleaner. Wash your hands and drink clean water. This stuff, these bacteria are getting stronger and stronger and stronger from all the overprescribed medications, antibiotics from the antibiotics in the feed, the food, the milk, everything now. This bacteria is getting extremely strong, and it's not a joke. Some of this stuff will really kill you. So be aware of what you're doing in your surroundings.
You're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, let me just give you a little quick hygiene lesson. Not that you need it, because I've already told you this before, but in case you have new listeners. You know, when you walk into a bathroom, have you noticed that so many of the bathrooms now no longer have external doors? You just walk around a corner, and you can't see in because it's around a corner, and there's no door. And then when you walk in, the sinks turn on automatically. You don't have to touch the sinks. And then when you walk over to the blower turns on automatically, it dries your hands. You don't have to touch anything. Well, now there's a reason they've done that, because when you walk into a bathroom and you have to open a door, and then you walk over to the toilet and you flush the toilet and you touch the handle on the toilet, your hands are contaminated. They've got fecal coliform on them, okay, because people have wiped their butts and they haven't got the poop off their hands and they're touching everything. So now there's poop all over the bathroom. So now you've got hands, you got poop on your hands. So now you walk over with poop on your hands and you turn on the faucet, okay, and now you wash your hands and you rinse them out. Now you turn off the faucets. Well, you just put the poop back on your hands because you touched the faucet again. Now you got poop on your hands again. Now you walk over to the door and now you open the door and now there's already poop on the door from the last person who was there, and you grab it with your poop covered hands and now you open the door. I mean, that's the truth about what a bathroom is. So when you walk into a bathroom, number one, you know, if you have to open the door, be aware of that. Wash your hands before you hire or touch your private parts if you have to open and turn a knob. When you go inside, touch everything with a paper towel, you know, use the bathroom, turn the paper towel, use the paper towel, turn the water on, wash your hands, use the paper towel, turn the water off, because remember it's contaminated, and use the paper towel at the door to open the door. And just do that, and you walk around with your hands clean. You don't have to use soap all the time on your hands because it dries out the skin, because it dissolves the lipid membrane in your skin. Don't do that. Just running water, just rub your hands together under running water, and that'll clean your hands 99% effectively. Now, if you get grease or oil or something really nasty on them, okay, use some soap. But otherwise, you don't need the soap. And just don't and wash your hands 8 or 10 times a day. You know, whenever you go into a public area, whenever you shake somebody's hand, whenever you go to a bathroom, you shake, you know, if you shake somebody's hand, chances are they've shaken someone's hand who hasn't washed their hands, even if their hands were clean. So it's a very nasty habit, shaking hands. You know, Donald Trump doesn't even shake hands, by the way. Can't say as I blame him. It's pretty disgusting because you don't know where their hands have been. So that's what I always tell people. Just keep your hands washed. I'm not saying don't shake hands, but it's our culture to do that. But you go ahead and just wash your hands on an ongoing basis throughout the day. Whenever you touch anything that other people have been handling, just routinely just go rinse your hands off. You don't have to wash them. Rinse them off. And it'll be a lot cleaner for you. And oh, by the way, our show tonight is brought to you by HealthMasters.com. You know, we don't push the show as far as the sponsor very much. That's our company. You know, we both work for Health Masters. You know, I've started Health Masters 35 years ago. It's a corporation, and it's great. We sell nutraceutical supplements. We have the highest quality vitamins and mineral products that you can buy anywhere in the world. We have phenomenal products. They're just great. We have tremendous testimonials. We've got, in fact, Doug Hagman had real high blood sugar. I mean, he was telling me this. He went on our Hagman blood sugar protocol on our website, was able to completely stabilize his blood sugar. Go to healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. Dave Hodges was having knee issues. He went on one of our programs and actually helped. We have a cartilage rebuilding program and actually did a great job with him on that. So he's been able to completely not have to do knee surgery. So there's all kinds of natural things you can do. By the way, Dave will be on in about 5 minutes. And you guys stay tuned and listen to Dave's show tonight. And so he's a great guy. He's a good friend of mine. And Doug Hagman's a great friend. And we're all going to be speaking in Dallas. I believe it's going to be in March of this year. We got a big seminar we're doing out there, so we're going to have a blast out there together too. So you guys try to, I think it's Watchmen Unleashed or something like that, but you guys need to go ahead and try to make it to Dallas for that seminar. It'll be a blast. And so healthmasters.com, sign up for our free newsletter. It's absolutely totally free. It comes to you 2 or 3 times a week. And we appreciate your support, because without your support, we're self-funded, we couldn't be doing this. But what I told my son, also, we started this show last summer, is I was not going to do a show and do an infomercial every single show for 30 or 40 or 50 minutes and force you guys to listen to me talk about supplements and products. I'm not going to do that. The Bible says, you know, well, no, the Bible doesn't say, but I had a preacher say this to me one time, God's will done God's way never lacks God's support. That's how I look at it. If you're blessed by this show, if you enjoy the show, look, you're buying your vitamins somewhere anyhow, you might as well try a few of ours, see how you like them. Healthmasters.com. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, by, definitely. And, you know, and also, too, you know, we're open Monday through Friday on the phones 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. You can give us a call up on our 1-800 number. It's on our website. It's 1-800-726-1834. You know, we'll be happy to have a call. Or if you're interested in any supplements, we'll be happy to explain them to you. Just please do us a favor. If you're interested, or your, you know, your husband or something's interested, whoever's interested, have them give us a call. We don't like giving out third-party advice just because a lot of times it creates a lot of confusion and nobody really knows what anybody said afterwards. So if you're interested, you have a friend's interest, yeah, tell them to give us a call directly and we'll be more than happy to talk to them and work with them through stuff. Because like Dad said, I mean, we work really hard to produce some of the best supplements in the world. And that's why so many people like them, and we do so well with them, is because they work and they're really, really, really high quality. You know, the Excellent C Ablation Therapy, you're going to be back in stock the beginning of this week now. So tomorrow, if you guys have any on back order, just come in, give us a call. You can look on the website, too. They'll be on there. And we appreciate your patience on getting those back in stock. So that's definitely definitely good stuff.
All right, let's go to another story real quick. China's exports fall for the 5th straight month. Oh, we're out of time. China's trade with the rest of the world continued to shrink in November, the latest negative sign of growth in the world's second largest economy. And China's economic slowdown slams California exports, which have a big customer in China. So, guys, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for just being there for us. I mean, and praying for us. So we, even if you don't buy supplements, guys, pray for us, please. Pray for just God's protection for us, because we love you guys and we appreciate you. And you know, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same, well, not same time, but the same channel.
3 to 4.
3 to 4 Monday through Friday, Global Star Satellite. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Austin, you got anything you want to say in closing?
That would be it, guys. You guys have a blessed, wonderful night and an awesome week. And yeah, have a good one.
Good night, guys.
Good night.